with me today is Paul Rosenzweig. He is a retired Army major, and one of his interests in the recent years is doing research on Filipino-Australian soldiers who served in the World War I and World War II. You've done a lot of research on Filipino-Australian soldiers who were active in World War I and World War II. How did the interest come about?
It's a bit of a long story, really, but I guess it started many years ago when I moved up to Darwin. I came from Adelaide, went up to Darwin as a teacher, and I was just amazed at the multicultural nature of the place. It was just amazing. And that really got me interested in the region. And then from that, I got involved in various jobs with Indonesia, travelled there a lot, learnt a language, so on and so on. And then with my army involvement, had some more interaction with the region. And all of that came together at the end of 2004, when I had an army posting to the Philippines, and I went to the Australian Embassy there. And that's when I guess I'd met Filipinos and I'd met the Filipino community in Darwin, but it was actually going to the Philippines and living there for 3 years that made me, I guess, get interested in the people and the culture and everything.
So where did you start your research?
While I was there in the Philippines, of course, you know, there's a wealth of information about World War II, and the Australians were involved in the liberation of the Philippines. And then from that, many years later, Australians and Filipinos served side by side in the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and then also in East Timor more recently. And I actually knew quite a few of the Filipinos that I'd either met in the Philippines. I'd met them in East Timor or something. There was a very strong military connection between our two countries. And of course, I went to the war cemetery in Taguig. I went to Corregidor, visited all of those, you know, significant landmarks. I represented from the embassy the Australian people at various commemorative events in different places like Surigao and Iloilo. And so I really developed an interest in the Philippine military history. But then when I came back to Australia and I was going through some of the work I'd done previously, I discovered that there were Filipinos who'd served in the Australian Army in World War I, which was quite amazing.
And these are Filipinos who came here because of pearl diving, if I'm not mistaken?
Correct. From my time living in Darwin, I knew a little bit about the history of the Filipino community there. They'd come from the Philippines at the end of the 19th century, some of them as early as about 1870s, and they came to Thursday Island in far north Queensland as pearl divers, pearl shell, sea cucumber, and around the turn of the century, most of them came across to Darwin. And because they'd been here for a certain amount of time, they could apply for citizenship. Many of them actually got their citizenship in Queensland, in Thursday Island. And then by the time they came to Darwin and we had Federation in 1901, they were Australian citizens. And then from those guys, you know, people like families like Kanonan and Spain and Gar, there were, from those three families, there were actually eight sons who were teenagers in 1915 and volunteered to serve in the army. I had known a little bit about these from my earlier research, but I hadn't realised how extensive that Filipino connection was. And so I started looking at them and the families, how they came to be in Darwin, and then what happened to each of those eight guys that joined up in World War I. We know that in the AIF, there was a real mixed bag. There were Australians and Brits, and there were Kiwis. There were quite a few Russians. I think there were a couple of Japanese, a few Chinese that have come to prominence. There were some Aboriginal, Indigenous people, Thursday Islanders even. The AIF was a really...
AIF is Australian...
Australian Imperial Force, which is the main military force we had in World War I. I think most historians appreciate how mixed and multicultural that force was, but I don't think anybody knew that we had Filipinos in it.
And these Filipinos, what drew them to Darwin?
The big change came around 1900 when, of course, back in the Philippines, you had the revolution was ongoing, the Spanish-American War, and America was taking over the Philippines as a colony. So the Americans started to develop the pearl shell and the pearl industry in the Philippines. At the same time, the Japanese were very active in the islands up around Thursday Island, far north Queensland, and the opportunities just weren't there anymore. The market was changing, prices were changing, the Japanese were coming to dominate. And so a lot of the Filipinos just, I'm not really sure what drew them there, but they started moving to Darwin. And the second part of it was, well, obviously there were diving opportunities in Darwin and also over in Broome. But the other thing is that in 1895, they started the indentured labour scheme, where various people from overseas could come as an in labour on a contract to work as a labourer, and most of them worked in the pearling industry. So we actually then had another wave of Filipinos coming to Darwin as indentured labourers. And one of the families, the Cabillo family in the territory, goes back to Antonio Cabillo, who was one of those indentured labourers. He came out here, took up a contract, worked for a pearler, and, you know, from these families developed the very strong Filipino community in Darwin. Out of all of those families, by 1915, there were eight boys in their late teens who were available to enlist in the army.
If I'm not mistaken, in your research, there was also a certain Filipino who wanted to volunteer, but he couldn't because he had an injury to his ear. Is that correct?
A complete body illness, palsy, diver's palsy. And this is, I guess, the second part of the research that I got involved in last year. The honorary consul for the Philippines up in Darwin, Mr. John Rivas, contacted me about some work I'd done on the bombing of Darwin. And in the bombing of Darwin, we know that there were, you know, quite a number of deaths. It was a multicultural community, and a lot of the wharf labourers were Filipinos. And out of them, we now believe that there were five who were killed. While I was researching these Filipinos who were killed in 1942 as part of the bombing of Darwin, they're commemorated on a big plaque at the Darwin City Council offices. I started researching each of them, and that's when I made the connection that one of them was actually a volunteer back in 1915. He had come here from Thursday Island. He'd been born on Thursday Island, came to Darwin with his family. Ricardo Canonan was his name, his brother Elias, and they both volunteered in 1915. Elias was accepted, went to France, fought in the war, came home. Ricardo went to Brisbane for his training, but after about 6 months or so, was discharged because he had diver's palsy. And on the surface of it, at the beginning, he was okay, but all of that marching, the hard training, sleeping on a hard floor, that just brought back that diver's palsy and the weakness, and he just wasn't fit for military service. So he was discharged. He was given a small silver badge that said he was medically discharged. He could still, you know, go back during the war with his head held high that he'd offered his services. In 1924, there was a big cyclone up in the Gulf of Carpentaria, and he joined a police expedition that went out looking for survivors over in Arnhem Land. And then he and his brother Elias were working on the wharf in Darwin, and during the bombing, Ricardo unfortunately was killed. And from that family, I discovered that there were quite a few descendants from Elias and some of the others. Ricardo's brother Elias had two children who served during World War II. One of his daughters was in the army, and a son was also in the army. Unfortunately, his son died just after the end of the war, but he was still on active service. So his name is on the war memorial, Elias Joey Canonan. He's on the war memorial honour roll. And his daughter is 93 years old, still alive today.
These Filipino-Australians were very active in the field in World War I and World War II.
Well, very active. One of the other families I mentioned, the Gar family, they actually had four sons, and all four of them volunteered to join up. There's a tragic story, you know, out of that family, all four sons volunteered. One of them, again, wasn't accepted for active service. Three of them went overseas. Of those three, two were actually killed. One was killed in France, one was killed in Belgium. So their names are on the memorial in Darwin, and their names are also on the honour roll in Canberra. And the other one, Guillermo Gar, he was known by the name of Glamour. His name was Glamour Gar. And at Villers Bretonneau, he won the military medal for bravery.
Wow.
And that was in the same action that Albert Barella, Bert Barella from Darwin, won the Victoria Cross, and they were in the same battalion. As you were saying, they were active in operations overseas to the point that one of them got a military medal for bravery.
Interesting, because we would never realize that there were a lot of Filipinos involved in World War One and World War Two. And
well, World War Two, what I then found, you know, you start to get hold of an interesting story and you keep following it. This guy, Glamour Gar, that won the military medal in World War One, well, he volunteered in World War Two, again, served in uniform in Queensland during the war. I've now identified 17 Filipinos who were from Darwin families who served during the war. I mentioned Joey Kinonen. He died in 1946 up in the islands just after the end of the war. There was also Miguel Perez. He was a pilot. In recent times, we've all heard about Bomber Command, and there was a big memorial that the Queen unveiled in England, and the Bomber Command veterans have just received a clasp to their 1939-45 star. So there's been a lot of recognition of what Bomber Command did during the war. Back in 1944-45, one of those Lancaster bombers that had a crew of six British Royal Air Force aircrew, the pilot was an Australian. The captain of the aircraft was an Australian, 20 years old, and he was a Filipino.
Wow.
Third generation Filipino-Australian. Well, his grandfather was a Filipino who came out of the Pearl Diver. Pretty amazing, and nobody knows it.
And you were actually instrumental in making sure that the names were properly written.
Well, that's another part of the story. Each of these guys are recorded in various places. So, for example, the Gar family, when Carlos Gar came out from the Philippines, it looks like his surname was just G-A, Gar. But in Darwin, for some reason, maybe people had difficulty with spelling it or writing it or whatever. And so when his sons joined up, one of them joined up with the surname Gar, G-A-R. One of the sons joined up as Matthew Gar, G-A-R-R. And so, you know, for example, now on the War Memorial in Darwin, William Gar is listed as G-A-R-R, same as his brother, but that's not the name he served under. It was only G-A-R. So there's little inconsistencies here and there. And then when you look at World War II, I mentioned Ricardo Kinonen being killed on the wharf. There's another branch of the story that at that time, there were two cargo ships that were passing by Darwin, full of ammunition and rations and supplies, and they were actually heading to the Philippines. They were trying to make a run through the Japanese occupation to get to Mindanao to resupply all the guerrillas fighting. And so these two ships, the Don Isidro and the Florence D, were actually chartered by the US Army. They had full Filipino crew. They were passing by Darwin, and those aircraft that attacked Darwin on the 19th of February, on their way back, attacked these two ships. They were attacked as part of the bombing of Darwin, but they weren't actually in Darwin Harbour. Out of that attack, there were 16 Filipinos killed on the two ships. And this is the other part of the project that we started working on last year, was to commemorate and recognise the sacrifice of those Filipinos. And that's, again, where you look at the naming in the various historical records that are around. And there's not much, but in those records, their names have been recorded mostly the way an American official would write it. When I started looking at these names in different casualty lists and on different American Merchant Marine websites, the spelling of the names is the way a Westerner, an American, would write it. So somebody like Jaime, which we all recognise as a Filipino name, the Americans thought it was a spelling mistake, so they wrote it as Jamie, J-A-M-I-E. There was one guy, Masankai. He's written M-A-S-A-N-K-A-Y. There's a G in the middle. We all know that, that Masankai would have a silent G in the middle, but it was missed out. One of the big projects I worked on late last year was working with Mr. John Rivas up in Darwin to make sure we got the spelling of those names correct. So all of those Filipinos have got their names spelt the Filipino way, and they were all put on a plaque, which the Philippine ambassador went up in February this year and unveiled that plaque up in Darwin.
What's next for Paul?
I'm still working on the World War II Filipino-Australians that served. I've actually discovered now that there was one Filipino-Australian from Darwin that served in Korea at the end of the Korean War. So I'm still discovering little bits as I go along. The next project, the Philippine Honorary Consul in Darwin is planning some sort of a commemoration of the Filipino community next year. And what I'd like to be able to do is get involved with that and have some displays on these Filipinos. We're talking about 8 from World War I. We're talking about 17 from World War II, plus the 5 that were killed on the wharf, plus the 16 on the ships. You know, we're talking about nearly 50 Filipino-Australians.
Plus the one that served in Korea.
Plus Korea. So we're talking about 50 that were involved in the military forces in some way during three wars. That's pretty significant. It's a pretty significant contribution to the Australian war effort. So I'd like to make sure that they're all appropriately recognised in this display at Parliament House next year. So I need to start saving a bit of money so I can make some trips to Darwin and work on that. Ultimately, I'd like to actually be able to sit down with some of the family members that are still alive and get their history, get the history of what they remember about their grandfathers and their grandparents, and put some of that down in writing.